Welcome to the Power of Synergy. I'm your host, Gabrielle Cardona. What do I do for a living? I teach people how to create good synergy. I'm a relationship coach. My son would call me a shrink in denial. Some people who have been my clients would call me an artist. I like to bring people together to create something better than what they are when they are alone. Yeah, everything that I've taught as a life coach has been about personal success. One of the most critical elements to success is quality relationships. And no matter what my client's goal was when they claimed, they really did want to improve their life. They came to me as a life coaching client. Something would always come back to improving the quality of their relationships. So when people told me after about 10 years, yes, being a life coach is good, but you have to find your niche, your specialty, because a life coach can be anything that teaches anybody anything. You have to have a specialty. So taking an inventory of the work that I had done up to that point, it really was about teaching people how to be with people. That was communication and conflict resolution, but even more, it was about appreciation of other people. As much as you respect and understand and appreciate yourself, you really do need to appreciate other people. And this week, I really wanted to talk to my listeners, my viewers, about what's important in our life as people individually, but what's important when we come together. I actually wanted to talk about orgasm and what we create when we have a powerful force. Our sexuality, that is a very strong power that we have, not only with each other, but when we have time to ourselves and we reflect on what we want and what we need. Yeah, orgasm is a very profound experience. But something happened this last week that made me just absolutely incredulous. I couldn't believe it when I heard it. It was about misogyny and how men hate women. And it made me angry. And I thought, you know what? It really bothers me that feminism is not feminine. It has literally taken away our femininity because it has created something very destructive between men and women. And something as beautiful as a sexual connection, that experience of fulfillment and satisfaction, but also generosity, sensitivity, because it has made men and women enemies. That takes away a very large part of what we are when we're not having sex. When I tell people the greatest thing about an orgasm is the four chemicals that it releases, the dopamine, the oxytocin, the serotonin, and the endorphins. It's a fascinating experience simply because it seems to be so confusing. It's a conundrum. How can we have something as powerful as oxytocin that relaxes us and makes us so peaceful and affectionate and calm, and then to have something like endorphins that give us energy and strength and momentum and volition to do things? Doesn't that kind of seem like the opposite? Yeah, almost. But when we have them together, we also have something like serotonin that gives us a peace of mind, and the dopamine that just makes things in our life more peaceful. Well, that's something that you don't play with. That's something that you don't mess around with. It's a very, very intimate experience if we share it with someone. But you know what? Another opportunity we have is laughter. We have the opportunity to connect with someone and to bond with them. What makes sex different? Well, it's sharing our soul. It's our heart and our mind and our body. And unfortunately, I really do feel like I can just say this now because it's such garbage out there being perpetuated by people who call themselves experts. The sexual revolution and feminism have completely taken away our humanity. sex is something very cheap. It's very meaningless. It's very worthless. And it has taken away our accountability to each other. Three of the most important things that I tell people as a relationship coach. Number one, there is no neutral energy. You are either positive or negative. Number two, when you know what, I'm actually getting really emotional about this. When you are in a relationship, it's not a right. It's a responsibility. You have an obligation to do the right thing. And number three, the most important, positive will always conquer negative. Yeah, you have to do the work to do the positive, but you will win if you set the good standards for yourself and you have the positive, hopeful attitude of, yeah, this is going to work if I do the work. You will be more willing to do extra work because you know it's not just about you. It's not about free love. No, love isn't free. It is a very, very special gift that should not be thrown around in a cheap way. There are a lot of people that you're going to love in your life, but when you're talking about emotional intimacy, where you share something so holistic like sexuality, you have to remember your responsibility is huge. Your accountability is huge. And yeah, waiting to do the right thing for the right reason with the right person, it's work, but it will pay off. And if you have negative energy, well, obviously that's negative, but what if you just have neutral energy? Well, it's not really positive, but it's not really negative. No, neutral counts as negative because that positive energy is so powerful. When you are proactive and healthy and constructive, before you even come together with someone else, that makes your synergy, what you will create with that person, amazing. So some things I've actually counted. I wrote a list and I counted how many things that I disagree with feminism about because it was so negative and it perpetuated negativity. Even if it was, you know, in jest, some of the things that were told to me as a young girl, it was still negative. You don't joke in a negative way about how men and women feel about each other because you are creating toxicity. Now, I can honestly say that I believe misandry, whatever you want to call it, the hatred of men is a big part of the reason why we are falling apart as a society. Feminism has taken away our femininity because it has told us that we need to be men as women. No, we don't. We do not have to be men. We can be women. When we're talking about equality, well, you can't really quantify the value of what a man or a woman really amounts to. What does that even mean? What does that look like? So let's just go back to men being men and women being women. They're both amazingly good things. They're both wonderful things. And one of the first things I was told by feminism, men are just dumb. Men are stupid people. That is a horrible thing for a little girl to hear. And I think what was hardest for me about that was the fact that the men in my life were brilliant. They were some of the most intelligent people I'd ever met. One of my favorite elders in one of my congregations, he was so smart. And I could come to him and talk to him about all kinds of deep, profound, and mentally challenging, overwhelming things. And his insight, not just his knowledge. Yes, he would quote scriptures, but you know what? He could take a scripture and he could turn it into something profoundly applicable in a practical way to my daily life question. Wow. That was awesome. My father, I would come to him with all kinds of problems from the things that I had going on during the week at school, because I only got to see him on the weekends, sometimes every other weekend. And I would say, Papa, what am I supposed to do about this? What does this mean? Why? Why is it this way? He not only had the experience, experience makes you smart, but he had the thinking ability to make me want to learn how to think. But you know what? There are a lot of jokes out there, like the computer's gender joke. Like one of the reasons why a woman would classify a computer as a man is because you can give him information all day, but he'll never be able to think for himself like a computer. Which, that's a horrible thing to say because not only is it not true, but it creates disrespect and distrust. Okay. And that's very important. Remember that point, distrust. Okay, so the next point that feminism really taught me was, well, is equality the same thing as liberation? Well, it was women's liberation. Well, the women's movement, now it's about equality. Is freedom about comparing ourselves to each other? When you don't really trust someone, you have that kind of, I'm going to be defensive when I come to you, when I first come to you. So to say to someone, I need freedom from you, the implication there, or freedom in a society, the implication there is because I can't trust you to take good care of me. Wow. A young girl hearing that women have to take care of themselves because men aren't capable of taking care of them. That is such a lie, and that is so destructive. And it's going to create inside of her resentment to men, towards men, that is absolutely unnecessary because, as I've told people, men and women that I've coached, yeah, men are very simple creatures. They want to provide, they want to protect, and they want to procreate. That means they are smart, and it means they are trustworthy because they are capable. They truly, genuinely have good intentions, and they want more than anything for women to be safe and happy. The women's liberation movement, the women's rights and freedom and all that stuff movement is about, I can't trust men to take care of me as well as I would take care of myself. Well, one of the things that makes me laugh all of the time is when I'm on the bus or when I'm standing in a store line and I'm making small talk with people, because I do that all the time. I just make small talk. I like to say that I'm submissive to my husband. Oh my God, men flip out more than women when I say that. They say, I would never abuse a woman like that. I would never make a, I don't think a woman should be subservient. I said, I didn't say subservient. I said submissive. That means, actually the word submissive, sub means below, missionate, whatever, whatever. It means to place. It means I am placing myself in a position of, you are my head. You can make the final decision. But you know what? The reason why I can do that is because my husband is a good man who does take care of me. He is intelligent and he is strong and he does protect me. And he loves to be smart because that's part of how he protects me. Okay, well, then maybe the men that these women are talking about, the pigs, the stupid pigs that they're talking about, maybe those men just aren't relationship material. My issue is that the media made it seem like all men were that way. Those weren't the exception. Those were the rule. Okay, you know what? Then let's go ahead. And when we're talking about disrespect for men, in addition to the distrust for them, that is going to create sexual dissatisfaction in a serious relationship, especially in marriage. Here's the next lie I was told. You know what? A woman being barefoot and pregnant and in the kitchen is demeaning. All men want all women to be barefoot and pregnant in the kitchen because they can't really do the good work that a man could do as well as a man. Okay, that's garbage. And I'll tell you why, because one of my favorite chapters of the Bible actually says that a woman, a good wife who is submissive, has her own company. She actually is a business owner. And not only is she good at time management, but she knows how to wheel and deal. And she's excellent at money management. And guess what, ladies and gentlemen? I didn't know this until I married my husband. Men love it when a woman is smart and she can think for herself and she can do a good job, especially because when she's happy, she is a really cool person for him to be around. Men just don't like women who are miserable. That's very simple. What a concept. And when a woman is good at what she does, she's happy doing it. And when he comes home, when he goes out with her, when they're talking throughout the day, at the end of the day, whatever, and she has good things to say to him, look, I'm helping you not only to care for our family, but I'm doing something that I love because I'm smart. Men love a smart woman. They just don't want the woman to make him feel stupid in a public way, in a demeaning way. Well, I think that's true of men and women. Ladies, we don't like it when a man makes us feel stupid. But the difference is we now, because of feminism, fight back and make men think that we're either a victim because he's attacking us and demeaning us, or we just don't need men so we can fight and attack and demean them. Okay, so how about if we just slow down and stop? How about if we just learn to like each other again? Okay, so when we have this, again, difference between men and women in their brains, We will never be equal. Science has actually shown that men's and women's brains have the same amount of energy, electrical energy going on. They're called synapses. The difference between men and women is that men's synapses tend to stay in one part of the brain. So there is a greater quantity of activity going on in one particular part of the brain at a time. A woman goes from one hemisphere to the other, back and forth, sometimes two different places, even in the same hemisphere, doing two different things. Yeah, that's why we're great at multitasking. Well, so we confuse men a lot because we are so opposite. There is no way to compare us to each other because we complement each other. Unfortunately, there was a movie that was very popular with a very, you know, famous movie star who's very attractive to a lot of women. You complete me. Well, and of course, feminism is going to take that as, well, I'm complete without you. Yes, you are complete without a man. We complement each other because the way that we add things to each other's lives, the synergy we create when we have positive energy and come together is phenomenal because we each do very different things, both in very good ways. Yeah, for each other, with each other, to each other. And again, that's about the orgasm that I was talking about. We're very different when we're together. And when we create something good and powerful for each other, with each other, we bond in a permanent way. Yeah, we are supposed to mate for life. And yes, it is possible to absolutely still be in love with someone after 28 years, 30 years, 50 years. You can still have a fondness in your heart for the person that you fell in love with. As a young man, as a young woman, one of the things that I've always been very passionate about is how religion makes the Bible seem so ultra conservative sexually that it makes sin dirty. Isn't a sin? What? That's not true. There's actually a scripture that says that a man should be intoxicated with his wife's breasts. All the time. Yeah. He's supposed to be horny all the time for his wife. And there is no age limit. That does not go away after a certain number of years if they are working together as partners. The submissive part is only when, you know what, there is a decision that needs to be made. Someone has to have the final say. When a man is a good man, and a woman submits to him and says, okay, honey, you know what? I'm gonna let you have the final say in this matter. A man would appreciate that and say, great, you didn't demean me, you didn't undermine me, you didn't insult me, and you didn't question my love for you. I'm going to make a decision that is good for you. The nice thing, ladies, we all know this, is if a man really is a stupid pig, let him make the decision. When the poop hits the fan and it falls on his head, it won't be him blaming you. You can say, okay, so now that that decision didn't work, maybe we should rethink this decision and work together again as partners. Here's the bottom line, too. A lot of the things that feminism taught women that I really don't agree with is me first, my job first, and then my kids, and then my husband. My husband will get the leftovers of whatever my kids need, more importantly, than him. That is the exact opposite. You actually, when you take care of the man that you love, that is very cathartic for you as a woman. And believe it or not, kids are absolutely fine with you going to them saying, yeah, go ahead and take care of each other, because when you both have positive energy, when the synergy that you create from your positive energy is good for you two, you are exponentially better for us. And yeah, there were times when my kids resented it as young kids, but I always said, I'm taking care of your father first. Trust me, the ROI here will be fabulous. One of my favorite experiences was when we were actually out to lunch with a group of members of our congregation. Several of them were elders and their wives. My daughter was about 7 years old, and one of the sisters said to my daughter, honey, you are growing up to be such quite the young lady, an impressive young lady. And my daughter said almost nonchalantly, thank you very much. My brothers have raised me very well. Her two older brothers. And the sister was trying to control her laughter. And she said, well, That's very nice, honey. But did your parents help your brothers at some point? And my husband and I were looking at each other going, oh my God, we have no idea what's going to come out of our mouth. And she put her fork down and she said, yes, technically mom and dad were there most of the time, but if they didn't spend so much time in their bedroom, and she put up a little quotation finger and said, talking, then my brothers wouldn't have to do their job for them. Okay, well, the entire table busted up laughing because before we went out to lunch, my husband and I took care of each other very, very well. And I guess I didn't know this until that time. My sons had little code language that they taught their little sister. And when we are quote unquote talking, that was code for we're having sex. And that's okay because, yeah, she was upset that day that we didn't do something before we went out to eat that she wanted to do. But you know what? As adults now, my kids, they are great when it comes to taking care of each other and appreciating who we were as their parents and what we did for them, because they can see how many of their friends or their schoolmates or their workmates, their parents hate each other and they resent each other because they don't take care of each other. They only give each other the leftovers. You cannot do that. Children do not need as much as you think they need in quantity. They are just fine accepting a very small amount of very high quality. Okay, so when you have that kind of synergy, that positive energy, you build that trust. One of the greatest things too that I found feminism to perpetuate a lie about, which is the opposite, is all men are insanely jealous. No, they're not. Men are actually, there are many confident and secure men out there. And I was told especially that Mexican men are some of the worst men in the world. They're possessively, jealously insane. No, actually, if a man feels like his woman loves him unconditionally and she's not looking around, he's just fine letting her have male friends. And I've always appreciated the fact that my husband has respected my job. Sometimes I had to go out of town. I had male clients that I did business with. He let me have the time that I needed with those men. He wasn't around. He didn't know what we were talking about. He didn't know what we were doing. And I even said, I'm having a hard time at the hotel, but one of my clients, one of my actual colleagues said, you can go ahead and crash on my couch. Are you okay with that? Because I asked him if he was okay with that. And he did know this person. He trusted the man. Men are not jealous of each other. Men are actually really cool with each other. And he spoke to the man and he said, okay, you're good helping out my wife. And he said, yeah, absolutely. And he was just fine with it. There are amazingly good men out there who would not rape a woman. They're not all going to rape a woman. And there are amazingly confident and very helpful men who trust their wives completely. The wrong thing about the media is that we only want to focus on the melodramatic. And so we exacerbate something that would otherwise be a complaint and turn it into a crisis. And then we just love to smear people and take one bad thing that one person said and turn it into a social disease. Okay, so let's just get back to the things that I was also told. The fact that men are kind of just stupid. One of the things that kind of ties into that is that men are only selfish. They only want immediate gratification. And that's part of the reason why they're stupid. Because one of the things that I heard, I think I was a teenager, is that, you know what, men only have enough blood for one head at a time. Meaning, if they're horny, they literally have absolutely no thinking ability whatsoever. Okay, which means that all we have to do is get them really, really stimulated so that then we can do whatever we want because their thinking ability is compromised. Okay, that's not true. That's not true. And I love one of the things, like I said, about my father, who is very intelligent. My husband, as we were dating, he was doing something with my mom around the house, and I was watching Jeopardy. Now, Jeopardy was something that I only watched with my father. That was our special quality time. I was so good at Jeopardy, even as a very young girl. Yeah, my dad could beat me. He beat me at Jeopardy. But again, 40 years my senior and had a little bit of experience. My husband was, well, the man that my boyfriend, He beat me at Jeopardy, and I could not believe it. I was so angry, just like I wanted to kill him. And at the same time, I was so turned on because that made me feel like, wow, I actually feel safe with him. He has the not only the information, but the thinking ability to come up with something as it needed to be thought of, as it needed to be solicited and executed. And that was very important to me because I actually felt safe with him because he was smart. Okay. And then when we were married, another one of my, one of the things that I loved, one day I was trying to do some housework and I couldn't find the dustpan. I was just sweeping the kitchen. Not even that big a deal, but I could not find the dustpan because we were actually still unpacking. And my husband came in and he said, "What's going on, sweetheart? What are you doing?" I said, I'm trying to clean the kitchen and I can't even find the dustpan. And I can't believe it. This whole place is just a mess. And I was losing it. And he said, "Don't worry about it, sweetie. It's okay." And I said, "Don't tell me not to worry about it. You don't have to do this. You don't understand what I'm going through." And he said, "You know what? Don't worry about it. I'll take care of it." And he went and got a piece of newspaper. And I said, "If you sit down and read the newspaper, well, you can clearly see I'm having a meltdown. I think I'm going to go get a divorce right now. I'll go to the courthouse right now and divorce you." Well, I was also pregnant at the time. But he said, "No, watch. You'll see. You're going to love what I do." And so he got the newspaper and got the top part of it wet, the top edge of it wet, not the side because that had fuzz on it, but the top that was a complete cut. And he stuck it on the ground and swept the pile of dirt into it and crinkled it up and threw it away. And I thought, wow, that was brilliant. I am so grateful, first of all, that he did that. But I am extremely aroused by the fact that I actually feel safe with him, that if something happened and he had to think on his feet, he would either have the thinking ability to come up with something, or he has enough experience in life to be able to put to good use whatever he has at his disposal. Yeah, that's really important. So feeling that safety with him and that security with him, it's okay to be submissive to a man who would take excellent care of you and not make you feel stupid. No, having a head of the household that you would say, "Okay, I'm going to obey you." That's not a bad thing if you trust him and you know his intentions. He can trust you because you wouldn't undermine him. How important is that? I actually had a sort of temporary client just recently. I had a man say to me, "Oh, I heard you talking on the bus about what you do. And do you still do relationship coaching? Because I hear you do the radio show and your books." And I said, "Yeah, absolutely. Do you want to ask me something?" And he said, "I think I might need a few sessions." So I said, "Okay, let's take an inventory of what you're doing with this lady." He said, "I think I might need to break up with her." So we went over some of the, you know, checklists of what's a good thing and what's a bad thing in a relationship. And he kept going kind of back to a theme that he never really wanted to broach the subject, but just love. "Do you love her?" He said, "I love her very much." I said, "Do you think she loves you?" He said, "I don't know." I said, "Wow, there's a trust issue there. You don't have anything if you don't have trust." And he goes, well, I mostly do trust her. And I said, "No, that's just it. You have to trust 100% completely. If you 99% trust that person, but the 1% of you doesn't, that means you don't trust them, because trust is totally and completely." And he said, "Yeah, I think you're right. And I think on some level, I've always known that." So I said, "Okay, you need to go ahead and end this relationship, because you're not being true to yourself or to her if you know that you don't trust her." And that's a big problem. That's, I think, the biggest part of feminism that has actually created misandry. It's women do not trust men before they ever meet them. And something that I had to explain to him is, you have to have that trust before you ever come together with that individual, not when I come together with you. You have to earn that trust. That is so toxic. when you have negativity inside of you from the beginning that has to be conquered with that positive, that's not going to work. You have to already have the positive in you, with you, between you, that even negativity can't take away or undermine. Do you believe that? Do you know that about yourself? Do you believe, or no, do you even know how you feel about the opposite sex? How do you feel that they feel about you? Again, relationships are not a right. They are a responsibility and a privilege. Are you qualified to be in a relationship? You have to have a maturity and a strength and a balance and a generosity. When you have an orgasm with someone, when you come together with them sexually, you are completely vulnerable. If you don't trust them, you have done something very, very bad to yourself, because you have let them into a place inside of you that has absolutely no boundaries whatsoever. That is complete and total freedom and complete and total access to you. But then you said to yourself, but it's not really that important because I could do it with anybody anytime. No, ladies and gentlemen, you can't. You can't do it with anybody anytime without doing severe damage to yourself. Now, you might actually say, but you know what? I don't care about the damage that I've done to myself because I've disconnected. Okay, that's not something to be proud of. If you have detached from someone else, that's pretty bad. But if you've disconnected from yourself, that's even worse, because now you're making everyone else that you come together with foot the bill for bad decisions that you have made. Why in the world did you even do that? Well, because that's just the world we live in. You can't wait to find out if you love somebody. Well, yeah, you can. And you certainly can't wait until marriage. Yes, you can. If when you are courting someone, when you are in a relationship with someone for the purpose of making a lifetime commitment, you absolutely can. If, and here's the key to the next point, ladies and gentlemen, you really are willing to do the work. If your mentality around relationships and commitment is, I'm going to give twice as much as I take, and I am going to give very high quality at all times. And if you are willing to give in a sincerely trusting way, it will work out. And the people that you bring into your life that you say, I'm going to be honest with you at all times, I am very vulnerable, but I trust you because I'm going to give you good quality things. And I trust that you're going to give me good quality things too. That is the positive energy that is a foundation for healthy synergy. Positive will always conquer negative. Now, it's not easier. It's not easy at all. In fact, most of the time, because there are so many negative things around us, there is so much negativity around us, especially now in the media, our computers, our cellular phones. It is a lot of hard work, but it's good work, and it feels good, and it feels satisfying, because when you are a positive soul, you are attracting positive people to yourself. Negative people don't want to be around positive people. Great. Go ahead and be positive and get rid of the people who don't want to be a part of that. But if there are people who are positive, they will say, wow, I want to be around you. Can I be in your personal space? You can say, yeah, absolutely. Come in. Even if you're an introvert, you can say, I have good room for good people like you. And the even better thing is that when there are people around you who don't know what they want, they will look at you and they will know immediately if they want to be in that positive energy or if they can't. They genuinely can't because they are so toxic. And they will go away, but it will make them think about what they're doing. It will make them think about what they want and how they feel. And even if in that moment, they don't want to join with that positive energy and connect with you as an individual, it will still make the quality of their soul better. Ask yourself this question. When people walk away from you, are they better or worse? That's a very broad question, but again, there is no neutral energy. Is your energy positive enough to conquer the negative? Well, you know what? Feminism really didn't do that for us as young girls. Again, I think the baby boomer generation kind of made feminism go way off the deep end, but one of the things that I think probably hurt my heart more than anything is before I got married, I realized something I was completely wrong about that I was told is that, well, men are all sluts with no standards who can't control themselves, so they'll just take whatever they can get. Oh my God. Okay. I was actually talking to my husband. We were going down the checklist of should we really sign the dotted line for forever? Because I am very attracted to you and you are very attracted to me, but we both know that we're both very, very, very horny. So should we really make this a permanent arrangement? One of the things my husband asked me, he said, okay, so let me put this one past you. If we had been married for 10 years and everything was going pretty well, you were very happy. I was very happy. We had great kids. We made enough money. Our home was in pretty good order. And one day I just came home and I said, honey, I'm going to be honest with you. I made a stupid decision. I made a mistake. It was a mistake and I regret doing it. I had sex with another woman, but she came on to me and it was a moment of weakness. I don't even love her, but yes, I was stupid and I'm sorry. And I'll do whatever I can to get your trust back. Would you forgive me? I said, of course I would. And he said, why? He almost seemed angry that I said, of course I would forgive him. I said, for several reasons. First of all, if you were honest with me, that would be more important than any mistake you're going to make, because you're going to make stupid mistakes, especially around sex, which is the second reason that if a woman is coming on to you, again, men only have enough blood for one head at a time. So you kind of don't really have a choice in the matter. And third, if we have something good, I'm not going to throw it away just because you were weak, basically just weak. One time, that would be completely stupid to throw all that good stuff away because of one bad thing. And he said, wrong. I said, why? He said, because a man is never accidentally unfaithful. If, like, whoops, I slipped into her vagina. If he is happy with a woman that he is with, he will never, ever be attracted to another woman enough to be unfaithful to the woman that he loves. If a woman has sex with another, or I'm sorry, if a man has sex with another woman, it's because he's not with you anymore. And anything he's telling you that, you know, he still loves you is a lie. Sex is very powerful and men can be faithful if they love you. And I said, wow. So men aren't just dogs that want to hump everything. And he said, no. And it's unfortunate that the media has really perpetuated that kind of propaganda, because no, and especially Mexicans. And that was the other thing I said, you know, because you're Mexican, you are practically raised to be unfaithful. He said, no, maybe in California, Los Angeles, Hollywood movies, but no, go to Mexico. There are a lot of really cool men down there that treat their wives very well, and their loyalty is ferocious. And I'm like, wow. God, you know what? This is really irritating me that I was told so much garbage by sometimes men, sometimes women. And that brings me back to the next point. When I was listening to this, watching this show about misogyny and about how horrible men are to women, I just thought, wow, this woman, she even, one of the things she said that just blew me away was how, let's see, how did she say it? The women haters are in places like Hollywood where a horror movie, and I love her accent, so I should say this is a horror movie. It was terrible. This, the naked woman just screaming as she's crying and running away from the monster. Well, apparently the fact that she had blonde hair pissed this woman off. Okay, and so the fact that she was naked, I guess running through the forest, also meant that she was weak and she didn't have any ability to take care of herself. And then she was being chased by a monster, meant that all women are victims. I said, what in the hell are you talking about? Where do you come up with that garbage? But you know what? That's really something that we heard. I'm Generation X. I heard it all the time. That basically every single thing that happens has to somehow be twisted and manipulated into men are pigs and they're dogs. And they're just looking for every opportunity to demean you and abuse you. Okay. That's not true. And you know what? Oh, here's another one. Men are con artists who will always lie to save themselves because they don't really have a conscience. Okay, well, that's not true. And you know what? If you are okay handling the truth, men like to tell you the truth because you know what? It's just easier that way. One of the things that I love it when people say, you got so lucky that you got the husband that you did, because yeah, he treats me with respect and he trusts me and he does take excellent care of me and he tells me I'm beautiful a lot. And Yeah, no, I didn't get lucky. I just held out for one of the good ones. Now, let me ask you, ladies, if I tell you that in a room full of 500 men, there are three good ones, ask yourself, do you think it's worth doing the work to find the three good ones somewhere among the other 497 bad ones, which, by the way, again, is a myth? There, men aren't really that bad, and there aren't that many bad men. Bad men are the exception, not the rule. How much do you believe that men only want cheap, stupid, and easy women? All men only want cheap, stupid, easy women. That was what I was actually told. That's not true. Men don't respect women like that. Men actually respect and appreciate beautiful, but smart and strong and confident women who are fun to be around. If a woman is intelligent and confident and fun, men really do like to be around that. And the nice thing is, that's not just while you're dating. If you're that kind of woman, that will carry over into the marriage. And when you have children, that is a foundation for everything that you are going to do together as a couple. And it's another thing that I really do appreciate is that my husband, he says, I like working with you. Sometimes I go deliver food with him just because he's having a hard time getting in and out of the car with there's no parking to get into the restaurant to get the food. So he'll drive around the block while I jump out the car door and then jump back in as he's on. And then I'll run to the door and deliver the food. And sometimes we'll just sit there and look at the phone and see how much we got on a tip for this neighborhood or for this meal. It was $12. And we have fun at the end of the day. You know what? Sometimes we only make $150 in 8 hours. That's a third of that's just going to gas because in Seattle, it's really expensive. But we had such a good time having fun together that it doesn't even matter that we didn't make money because I don't need him to buy me expensive things because we have fun together in our daily life. Men want smart and strong and confident and happy women. Ask yourself as a woman, are you smart, intelligent enough in your ability to make good choices and good decisions, but confident enough to be able to say to a man, this is what I think and this is what I feel without being confrontational and without making him feel like you're trying to start a fight with him as a personal challenge to his value relative to your value for some kind of political agenda? Just be people. Again, just be together and have a good time liking each other. Because one of the other things, I don't even know how many I've gone down the list. I didn't write the number down here. That women have the belief that you either have to be aggressive or a victim. You have to be one or the other. There's no middle ground. If you're not aggressive as a woman, then you will inevitably be a victim just because men are so horrible. That's not true. You can be confident without being arrogant. You can be strong without being aggressive. You can be intelligent without being intimidating. And especially if you can say to a man as an individual, yeah, I'm absolutely fine letting you do what you want. If you want to know what I think, go ahead and ask me. I'll tell you honestly and directly what I think and what I feel and what I need. And I won't make you feel bad in the process. Men are really cool with that. They appreciate that. Which again factors in the next thing that I wouldn't really say it was a feminism. It was just kind of a universal principle that I heard as I was growing up a lot in the media. Lying is okay if your intentions are good. That could be giving blatantly untrue, incorrect information. That could be misleading. It could be omission of important details. You know what? It could just be allowing someone to continue believing something that you know is not accurate. Well, it's mostly accurate, but you know, I'm just not going to correct the little part that's wrong. But you know what? That might be the most important part. Being completely honest at all times is important. And this is something that my son actually said to my husband the other day. He said, wow, you and mom have been talking a lot these last few days. What in the world have you been talking about? And it's true. I think in the last like 4 days, as we've been having to make some life-changing decisions, my husband and I have probably been talking for about 10 hours. That's a lot of talking. But you know what? Sometimes you have to get down to the why and in what way and when and why. because why? And well, what about this? But what about that? Okay, well, in the situation, but why? Okay, and so here's the thing, ladies, if we are fun to talk to, and if we are not provocational, okay, I'm provocative, you don't have to be provocational, and we don't insult their intelligence and make them and challenge their value as people, actually, you know what? Talking with each other isn't that bad. And sometimes, and listen, 28 years from the time that we signed up with each other, he actually said to me the other day, wow, I just learned something new about you. I never knew that about you. And I said, how can you not know that about me? I've been doing this for 28 years. And he said, but you never said it that way. And I said, wow, you know what? I guess I just assumed you knew you. I would think that after 28 years, I assumed you would know. Because you know what? He knew about 85% of it. The other 15% that he didn't know completely changed everything. Is it worth it to say an additional 15% to give someone the complete and total picture accurately of who you are and what you need and how you think? Yeah, it's absolutely worth it, because it's a very important reward that you get when you are connected with someone that you love. And that's an example to the people around you. You inspire them and say, wow, you guys have something really great. How do I do that? How do I get that? How do I have that? Now, sometimes people don't want to know, because again, knowledge is power. Okay. You have the power. When you have the accurate knowledge, you then have the power that comes with a responsibility. If you know what to do and you don't do it, you know what? You're not a good person. Well, maybe you're just not ready to do the actual work. Maybe you are genuinely selfish and you don't want to make the sacrifice. Again, a relationship is not a right. It is a privilege that comes with responsibility. You can honestly say, in fact, this client, this temporary client that I had recently, he said, I was actually with a woman that, yeah, I cared about her, but I was not ready for a relationship. You can't be in a relationship if you know you're not ready for the real deal, the long-term commitment. But you know what? The sexual revolution and feminism, again, taught the next very, very toxic thing. Girls just want to have fun. You know what? What that translates to is, yeah, we can be just as sleazy and we can take advantage of you just as much as you take advantage of us. Okay, congratulations. Mm-hmm. So you can be just as toxic as a sick, narcissistic, yes, misogynistic man. That's not something to be proud of. You have to know how to be, have your own standards and hold to your standards and say, you know what? No, I deserve one of the three men out of the group of 500 men who is amazing, because I am genuinely amazing. I do not manipulate. I do not torture. I do not undermine. And I don't challenge a man's value and his ability and question him. One of the things that a woman told a man was, I have been abused by other men. You have to earn my trust because of what they did to me. No, that's not fair. And that's not right. And on some level, of course, she knew that was right. And the man who was listening to this knew on some level it was right, but he was so blown away by it. The audacity of it. It was almost like, what in the world am I supposed to do with this? I've never been told this before. And I've never actually had this experience before. What do I do with this? Yeah, it's very, very wrong. And it is a deal breaker. Now, one of the things that, again, I wouldn't even necessarily say it was feminism. It was just with the mass media becoming what it was in the 80s. One of the things that, you know what, maybe it was just talk shows, because that's when they really went full force, is happily ever after is not possible. So you need to let go of the idea of happily ever after. And that's why the vows in marriage changed till death do us part. That was a pseudo translation of, yeah, we can't do till death do us part because you can't have happily ever after. You know what? Actually, ladies and gentlemen, yeah, you can. You can have happily ever after. You just need to redefine happiness as something less selfish. There is more joy in giving than there is in receiving. Of course, you're going to have challenges. You communicate with each other in a respectful and loving and considerate way. When you have that frame of reference, when you have those not negotiable standards for yourself, forget the other person, for yourself. A lot of times when people get into a perpetual fight about something, a downward spiral of conflict in something, it's because they know they have both crossed the line. If one of the people have crossed the line into something horrifying, and the other person says, I'm not going to return evil for evil to you. I'm going to continue to treat you with genuine respect, and I'm not going to punish you for what you did, castigate you, shame you, or use it as leverage to justify being selfish. Believe it or not, people are very, very repentant, and they're sorry. They are, they do have remorse for what they've done, especially if you say, you know what, I forgive you. And you talk about it honestly. That's not the same thing as ignoring it and pretending like it didn't happen. It's being able to speak openly about it without judgment and say, yeah, you did. You did make a horrible mistake. But you know what? I don't have resentment for that. And I would appreciate it if you didn't do it that way again. Actually, people are so grateful that you've given them that forgiveness that they say, okay, I'm going to try really hard not to do that as my gift to you for your forgiveness. And you know what? One of the things that just I think was so wrong, and I feel so bad about it now, that we've been told as women is that, yeah, men aren't attracted to women after they have children because they get fat and ugly. Okay, you know what? That's not true. In fact, I was actually told that men don't even like pregnant women because they're so fat and ugly. Men really like women when they're pregnant, if they're in love with them. Okay, if they're in love with the woman, they really do love to be with her, especially when she's in that state. And you know what? Yeah, our bodies get bigger. But you know what? They don't have to stay obese if we're breastfeeding and if we take care of ourselves. It's okay even to have stretch marks. I thought men didn't like stretch marks. And the minute you get stretch marks, the minute that you get cellulite, he's going to be looking around for another woman. That's not true. In fact, one of my favorite things my husband actually said, please don't tell your viewers, your listeners this, but I said, baby, I got to tell them this because this is so important. When I was breastfeeding my children, one of his favorite things to do was to come up from behind me and hook onto the other breast and just to see what the child would do. My first one would actually massage his face. He's like, come on, Dad, go ahead and I'll have one. You can have the other. My second one, he actually smacked him a couple of times, like, get the hell away from my territory. What do you think you're doing, taking up my personal space? My daughter, the third one, she just would kind of look at him going, who are you and what in the world are you doing here? And so the fun that we would have doing maternal things together, men actually like women who have children. And especially if they love the woman who's taking care of their children, yeah, it's a really nice experience. And I think probably I'm running out of time here. One of the things that I resent the most about feminism and the sexual movement, revolution, is promiscuity is a demonstration of personal empowerment. Women actually think that if they are promiscuous and they can hurt men as much as men hurt them, that is some indication that they are strong women. No, they're not. But you know what? Sex is not a weapon. And when you disconnect from yourself and you say to a man, you don't care about me, so I don't care about you either. If you can harm me in this way, I can harm you just as much in the same way. That does not make you equal to anything good. All it does is reduce you to something bad. You do have a responsibility to yourself and to the people around you, men and women. Have something positive inside of your body, inside of your heart, and inside of your mind. Power, personal power, is positive energy. It will conquer anything negative in your life. Understand that we all want to be together. And when we come together, we create something amazing. I have a website, SynergyRelationshipCoaching.com. And if you have any questions or comments about my show, you can go ahead and send me an email, thepowerofsynergy.bbsradio@gmail.com. Take care of yourself. Let's take care of each other. I'll see you next week at the same time here on BBS Radio. I'm your host, Gabrielle Cardona.